October 7th, 2023 was the deadliest attack against Israel since the state's establishment in 1948. But that doesn't mean Israelis are united in how to respond. Within Israel, there's an ongoing fiery debate about whether the Israeli military responses since October 7th are justified, and whether Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is the right person to lead the country. For more on this part of the story, we're joined by Jamie Levin. He's an associate professor of political science at St. Francis Xavier University. He's in Halifax. Good morning.
Good morning.
What has the past year been like in Israel?
It has been a hard year. The attacks of October 7th were probably the single greatest challenge to the country as well as the prime minister in his lengthy political career. Netanyahu has long presented himself as quote-unquote Mr. Security, but October 7th was easily the biggest security breach in Israel's history. Now, after the attack, centrist parties joined the coalition in a show of national unity, but disagreements on how to prosecute the war ultimately led to their departure. That was back in June, and it left Netanyahu with a narrow coalition beholden to his ultra-rightist and ultra-religious flanks. Israelis, by and large, do not approve of Netanyahu's handling of the Gaza war. They want a ceasefire, they want the remaining Israeli hostages held by Hamas returned, and they want a plan for the day after. They don't want a forever war. They're sensitive to Israel's international standing. They don't want a permanent Israeli reoccupation of Gaza, which would involve persistent casualties. And in the main, they don't want the reestablishment of settlements there. But Netanyahu has managed to turn things around in the past few weeks. He's promised to effect the return of the more than 60,000 Israelis who were evacuated from the north of the country near the border with Lebanon. Those are the people who came under persistent rocket fire by Hezbollah on October 8th, a day after the initial Hamas attack on the south of Israel. And in recent weeks, Netanyahu has begun to deliver on this promise. Israel has hobbled Hezbollah. Hassan Nasrallah and most of the other senior commanders have been killed in various strikes. A respectable portion of their rocket and missile stores have been wiped out in aerial attacks. And their middle management has been broken in the pager and walkie-talkie attacks of late September. And this has raised Netanyahu's popularity significantly. So much so, in fact, that Gideon Saar and his right-wing New Hope Party joined the coalition Sunday last in a vote of confidence of Netanyahu's handling of Hezbollah. This gives Netanyahu another 4 seats in the Knesset for a total of 68 seats out of 120. And that provides Netanyahu with some breathing room today. But still, if either of his ultra-Orthodox or ultra-rightist parties bolt the existing coalition, that would be the end of the government in Israel. That would trigger an election.
So what exactly is the goal of Israel in this war?
Well, I think there's disagreement on that. I think there are two positions. Much of the Israeli population and increasingly a good deal of the IDF brass prioritizes the return of the hostages. Now, Israel can continue fighting in the hopes of eliminating Hamas, or it can accede to a ceasefire and see the return of the hostages. But frankly, achieving both is highly unlikely. More than this, I think there's disagreement in the country over a plan for the day after. A year in from the initial Hamas attack, and I think it's fair to say that the Israeli military has succeeded in creating a vacuum in Gaza. It's effectively broken both the governance and military capacity of Hamas. But there's no consensus in Israel surrounding who or what will fill that vacuum or should fill that vacuum. The Israeli public, by and large, does not want to see a reoccupation of Gaza with all that entails. But Netanyahu's ultra-nationalist flank, they demand it. They refuse to see anyone but Israel in charge of Gaza, And they think the resettlement of Gaza is likely the only way to achieve this. Now, Netanyahu has punted for nearly a year. The risk, of course, is that without a plan, Gaza simply becomes a forever war, a quagmire.
So what will you be watching for in the coming days and weeks?
I'm going to be watching two things very closely. First, whether Netanyahu will make good on his promise to retaliate against Iran, and what form, if any, that response will take. Remember that in April, Iran launched a massive attack against Israel, drones, cruise missiles, and ballistic missiles. Though nearly all of these were intercepted, it was the first time Iran attacked Israel directly. Now, Israel's response then was muted. It was a single attack on an Iranian airfield, largely symbolic. But things have escalated since then. Iran lobbed another 180 ballistic missiles against Israel less than a week ago, on October 1st. That was in response to the assassination of Hezbollah's leader, Ismail Haniyeh, and Hamas's then-leader, Hassan Nasrallah, both by Israel. Now, again, that Iranian attack was mostly thwarted by Israeli and American air defense systems. But this time, Netanyahu has vowed a more full-throated response. Naftali Bennett, who is Netanyahu's primary challenger for prime minister, has called on Netanyahu to strike on Iran's nuclear program. And with Hezbollah hobbled today, Iran does not enjoy the deterrence against Israel that it did even a few short weeks ago. So I'm going to watch for an Israeli retaliation, whether it's directed against Iran's nuclear facilities, and if it is, and if it's only partially successful, which is likely, whether the Americans will follow up with their own strikes. President Biden has vowed that the U.S. will not. But a partially successful strike against Iranian nuclear installations would embolden Iran to surpass the nuclear breakout stage, which President Biden has vowed to prevent. Second, I'm going to watch the ground invasion in Lebanon. Israel has hobbled Hezbollah's capacities, but not so much so that Hezbollah can't put up a fight. So I'm wondering, and I will be watching, whether Israel will get bogged down or whether its successes will continue in Lebanon. The answers to these questions will not only determine the fate of the Netanyahu government, but I think the prospects for a wider regional war.
All right, Jamie, I want to thank you for coming on and giving us the latest this morning.
Thank you very much.
Jamie Levin is an associate professor of political science at St. Francis Xavier University.